So good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ross. We've got a few visitors. And so I lead this congregation, and my wife, Margot, is just left wearing green. She looks good in green. I'm going to tease her later. I want to be teaching into, preaching into, speaking into this morning is, I want to entitle it this. To say, I was a stranger, did you invite me in? Interesting words. Those actually aren't my words. Those are Jesus' words. In Matthew 25, you don't have to go there just yet. Matthew 25, Jesus says that. He says, I was thirsty, did you give me a cup of water? I was hungry, did you feed me? I was a stranger, did you invite me in? And I want to entitle my preach this morning that I was a stranger and you invite, I was a stranger, did you invite me in? I was a stranger, did you invite me in? And I'm speaking to you guys. So, to maybe put a little bit of context in to this, we as a church, Joshua Generation, are part of a field of churches called 412, for those of you who don't know. 412 comes out of Ephesians 4:12. The scripture talks about the fivefold gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they are given to the body, we are the body, for the equipping of the saints to do the works of the ministry. And we are the saints that are being equipped to do the works of the ministry. And we are part of it's not an organization. We are part of a movement called 412. Okay, that's just the name. It's actually God's work on earth. It's the kingdom. And I want to shift our focus a little bit because we're coming up to a time. We have our 412 conference at the end of September. And so Joshua Generation Church, we build on Acts 2:42. And the very first line in Acts 2:42, and they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Devoted. And I preached a few weeks ago about the depth of devotion and really what devotion is and how it looks. And being devoted is a serious word. It's a serious thing. And if we are going to be a people that are devoted, then we need to understand what devotion is and how deep it is. Okay. Now, I'm not going to preach that preach this morning. If you want to know a bit more about devotion, you can come and talk to me later. But what I do want to say, I'm putting a bit of context in place here for you. So if we are people that are part, want to model this, and we are part of the field of 412, which is the conference coming up at the end of September, where there's apostolic input, we people that we view as apostles working into the churches, in the nations, and in locally, are speaking into us. We need to be devoted to that. We need to make time to go to this. We need to prioritize it in our lives and in our calendars. And I can say this because I'm relatively new to leading a church and relatively new to being a full-time, working for the church full-time. I, for the last couple of years, have only had 15 days leave, lived 4 hours down the coast. And that conference, every year, the same time, a week out of my leave, at my own expense, I would come because I understood the importance of this. And before I even like really go where I want to go, I want to massage that into us, the value of this. I've seen it. I've seen how just the week of being exposed to the grace that is on the men, these men that preach lives, moves us forward. It moves you forward as an individual. It moves a congregation forward as a body. Because that's the grace that God has gifted them. It's their function actually in the body. It's the purpose that God has gifted them to the body is to move us forward, is to build. And when we often used to joke, and as leaders, and I'm letting you into maybe a little bit of insight here, but I know what it's like to pastor people. I know people, some people struggle and we walk long roads with guys sometimes, and people walk long roads with me. It's part of life together. But I know I can only do so much. Jesus has got to do the work. But I've also seen this, is a year's worth of work can be sorted out in a week when you and I get people to go there. Because just there's an ability to share the grace and share the Word of God in such a manner that will blow your mind. It pierces your heart. There's such a grace. Andrew has the ability to say things that no one else can say. And it's just the gift that is on his life. He has the ability to make dying sound good. Dying to live. Because what do? When we come to Jesus, we die. Our flesh, our old self dies. And there's a new him. We're resurrected in Christ. A new creation in Christ. That doesn't sound good. I can't make it sound that good. But when I hear him say it, I'm like, yes, let's go. We can run through walls. We can do anything. And I want to encourage you guys. The value of this time coming up is so important. It's so important for us as a congregation moving forward into the next season of that what God's got for us. I want to encourage you guys, come. Make it a priority. Take time off work. Take time off work. Going in the evenings is not going to the conference. It's like 3 days of work that you've got to take. We used to take a whole week because we couldn't travel that much. So we just right at the beginning of the year, I knew it's going to be this time. I would go to my boss and I'd say, listen, I don't care about anything else for the rest of the year. I need that week because I know what that week did. So I want to encourage you guys that 4:12 is not something over there. It's not an idea. Me and Mark were chatting this week. It's not an idea. It's not a banner. It's not a slogan. It's you and it's me. You guys are 4:12. You guys are the saints that have been equipped. We can't move forward and we can't do the works of the ministry if we're not being equipped. We cannot take this thing forward and see more people. Like, we can kind of come here on Sunday and hope people are going to walk through the door and maybe a friend of ours or two that we've told about Jesus in the week might come to church and we get lucky and they get saved because the guy preaching maybe had a good altar call. That's not church. That's like fumbling around in the dark. We want to build. We want to move forward. We want to take ground. We want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see the supernatural. We want to see the miraculous. We want to see people get healed. We want to understand these things. Amen? Yes, I get excited with this stuff. So we put out now Joshua Generation Church has, I think we've got quite a good reputation for being quite hospitable, actually. We've hosted the conference for a couple of years, and a value of us as a church is being hospitable, is opening our homes. When you become a member of the church, one of the things right at the end is what your fridge is mine and what my fridge is yours. Eh? You guys said that. You know what that's about, eh? This is at the moment, my fridge hasn't got much at all. You're welcome to come in and raid it. So this is a value, and this is not our value. This is a biblical value. Hospitality. God speaks about it. Jesus speaks about it numerous times, and actually, God Himself is like the ultimate host. I don't know if you know that. Why is hospitality such an important value? Because God, we want to model Him, we want to model Jesus, because He's the ultimate host. Why? Because we were strangers. We are strangers, yet He invited us in. We were strangers to perfection. We were strangers to Him in our sin, yet He invited us in. So we want to model that. That is a value of ours. And that's what a little bit about what I want to share about this morning, because when we put out a request to host, we began to realize that, and this is not to adjust that. This is to adjust a value in us as a church that might be getting a little bit weaker than it was. So we have different values, and we don't have different muscles as a body, and sometimes muscles get weaker than others. If you don't exercise them, they get weaker. And we feel, as we look at the church in total, well, this body, Joshua Generation Church, when we look at all of the congregations, we see, okay, maybe there might be an area here that we are actually weakening in. We've previously, historically, we've got a good reputation as being very hospitable and very, very good at this. But we can't go on our reputation. We've got to carry on doing it. We can't go on, oh, yeah, we're good at this, and no. We got to live it. We're called to live it. Remember, we are 412. We are the saints that have been equipped. So let's read Matthew 25, 31 to 40. And I just want to share a few things around this that might pierce our hearts and really speak to us and build us up into really wanting to run and serve in this manner, in a sense. So, this is the story. Now, just the context of this is actually faithfulness, this verse. So, Jesus shares this story just after the story about the virgins, the 10 virgins, and their oil. You guys know that story? And the next story after that is the servants and their talents. So, one servant gets given 5 talents, the other servant 3 talents, and the other one talent. And they go bury the one buries his talent. The other ones multiply their talents. You know what stories I'm talking about. I'm not going to go. So this is, the context of this is actually faithfulness. And this is what the Lord says. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you were hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now that's Jesus speaking. The key verse there is, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Now this is God saying, this is Jesus saying, model this. I want you to model this. You see, there are 4 points around hospitality. Now this is hospitality, actually. There are 4 points around hospitality. Hospitality is something we do for Jesus himself, right? This is him speaking. Because in verse 35, he says, for I. He's talking in the first person. You see, again, coming back to that 412, it's for building his kingdom. Not us. His kingdom. It's for equipping his saints. The people we're hosting, that we've been asked to host, the people coming from overseas, the people coming from down the coast, they are family. So now remember, also a couple of weeks ago I preached about unity and how we belong to each other. And how Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden, Father, let them be one as you and I are one, referring to me and you. Not only me and you, actually to people down the road that are also part of this body. So guys, I come from Mossel Bay, so the guys in Mossel Bay are just as much part of you as the person sitting next to you. The guys in City Bowl are just as much part of you as the person sitting next to you. The guys in Isle of Man are just as much part of you as the people sitting next to you. Jesus said, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. So the people coming are part of us. Jesus says this in Mark 3:31 to 35. He says, Then Jesus' mother and his brothers arrived. I think you guys, some of you guys might know this story. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him in. A crowd was sitting out around him, and they told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Jesus says this. He goes, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister." So when we're together in unity and when we share the same purpose, in Scripture we see, which is God and Jesus, in Scripture we see that we're actually family. So if your mom or dad, if you've got, so maybe this is a loaded question. I asked this question the other. So if your mom or dad are coming to town, where would you want them to come stay with you? Some people might actually say no. Let's use a good example of somebody that you've got a good relationship with. If they were coming to town, would you want them to stay with you? Yes. If Jesus was coming to town, would you want him to stay with you? Yes. I would. Definitely. What? Multiply your food. You don't have to worry. You just skip one plate of food and... So, here's an opportunity for us now. We've got guys coming. We've asked people to put their names down for hosting. And really, this isn't a correction in, "Hey, guys, put your names down for hosting. We need hosting now." This is pointing us in a direction of hospitality. Because actually, we're a congregation that is a little bit further away from all the other congregations. The conference is going to be in Belleville. But, I mean, we can think out of the box a little bit. There are other ways to assist and to be hospitable. We can supply meals. We can supply lifts. We can. Actually, there's a couple that was in this church, or in this congregation, the Lewises that used to live in Fishhook. Chris and Sarah Lewis. So they actually moved to Sunningdale just before we got here. But I heard the other day that they used to host. They used to live in Fishhook. They used to host every year. Man, well done. No matter how far. I know they went to the car. I mean, it's not that difficult. But they used to drive through every day for those 4 or 5 days. But they used to host every year. So it's actually, we're not too far. It might be not easy and that practical, but we're not too far. But how do we do this together? Like within communities, and I'll probably address that within the next few weeks. But I want us to start realizing that it's a value. That's our hearts need to be open to this. It's a practical action. In verse 35, it says, "Give the hungry something to eat. Give the thirsty something to drink. Invite a stranger in." And it's faithfulness according to our means. It's not a show. When I say what's in my fridge is yours and what's in your fridge is mine, it's like Uncle Herman said now, actually, it's what's in my fridge now. And sometimes it's not all that much. But I'm still prepared to share it. If you open my fridge now, I don't have any milk at home. I better stop and get milk now. So you're going to have black coffee if you come to my house. But you'll get some coffee. It's yours. It's there. So it's not about putting on a show. It's not about only looking to see if we can help those that can repay us. It's about serving our brothers and our sisters. As we see in Mark, these people coming are our brothers and sisters. A cup of water has a reward. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus says that again. It's these little things. It's a heart attitude. It's a posture of openness and welcoming those in. That was Mark 9:41. Again, hospitality is done for the least of these. Sorry, I have notes, but I'm kind of bouncing around because I do feel like the Lord is stirring something up within us, stirring something up in my heart. It's a passion. It's really, I've seen the value of having people in my homes. I've experienced going to people's homes. I understand what happens. I've felt it. I've seen it. I understand the value of going to 412 and making an effort of going to the conference because I've experienced it. I've seen how people's lives have changed that have gone. So it's like it's ingrained in me. And it has eternal significance. This, you are blessed by my Father. In verse 34 it says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, something of eternity awaits those who are hospitable. It's a test of our hearts. It's a test to see actually where our talents, if we've buried them or if we're investing them. Also, hosting may not directly benefit you right now at all. Sometimes it's quite difficult, actually. Part of it's laying down our lives. But when we are generous, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. I don't think you have the scripture, but I'll read it to you. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for love. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So again, last week I shared on, it's not by works that we saved, it's by grace. But we saved two works, and this is part of it. This is part of so that the change that happens in our hearts and the love for one another that gets implanted into us, we want to share it with one another. So I want to encourage us to begin to, in the season that we're going into this next couple of months, as we approach the conference, there's an opportunity for us to host. But if you can't host, if you don't have space, there's an opportunity for you to give. Like I said, share a meal or maybe help with a lift. And we're going to start to speak about that within the community. So I've asked the guys in community to start to speak about it, to chat about it. Get together, rack your brains a little bit. How can we serve those coming? How can we be a blessing to those coming? So I guess my question for us is really this as well, is because last week the theme that was coming through is first love. He's drawing us back to his first love. And if we don't have this heart of desiring to see people come in and drawing people into us, and actually, maybe we need to examine our hearts. Have we drifted from our first love? Because if we're loving Jesus, we're reflecting Jesus. And I've shown you in Scripture that this is Jesus' desire for us. This was his. So let me say that again. If we're loving Jesus, we're reflecting Jesus. Loving means following. Loving means doing. So who's excited? It's exciting. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Sorry. That story actually reminded me of something about hospitality. Sorry. Anyway, so when I was a little boy, my mom and dad lost everything due to drugs, and they actually lived on the street. So they sent me and my siblings to Port Elizabeth to go stay with my grandparents. And I was only there for like 9 months, but yeah, like while I was at my grandparents' place, my grandparents decided that they wanted to take a trip to Australia for vacation. So they decided to look around at the school that I was staying in Port Elizabeth. It was called Mount Pleasant. For families that me and my brother and sister could stay at. And We went to a different, like a few different houses and checked out, and like they actually asked us which house we thought was the best, and we chose this home. It was the home of the Byrus family, and they were a Christian family, and so it was like coming from a house or from a household of abuse and neglect to being put into a house of like God, and just being able to witness like how family was supposed to be done. So that was the first time that I actually met God. I think I was in grade 2 at that time. It's the first time I experienced like church. I can't remember what the church was, but it was an awesome church. I was still a kid, at the church, when my parents got their stuff together, and got a home to live in, they decided that it was time for me and my siblings to go back to my parents' house. I was still like really small, so I actually didn't really know what was like going on. When we were leaving, they actually gave me and my siblings a Bible, like a kid's Bible. But anyway, so I'll never forget the fact that that church actually saw me as an individual, and I was like, I wasn't even aware that they were taking note of me, but like when I left, they actually like sent me with a parting gift, which was super awesome. Thanks.
It's an incredible story. That's proof that inviting, you was a stranger to them. By inviting a stranger into their house, they changed his life forever. Forever. There were seeds planted in John's life that are bearing fruit today because of that. That is an incredible story. Incredible. So these are two individual stories like of what's happened to people individually. But I want to tell you one more story. And you may have heard the story as well. But I've seen an entire church change because of hosting. So a couple of years ago, and actually, I think Wayne and Renee, you went on that outreach, eh? To Isle of Man. And I think Kim briefly shared about it. So Isle of Man is a little island off the coast of the UK. So I don't know exactly where it is. It's there somewhere. And a couple of years ago, it was a church that started a relationship. There was a start of a relationship happening and between the guy that was leading the church and Andrew. And he asked Andrew to come over and minister. And Andrew said, yeah, cool. But he put it out there to the church. And I think 80, Renee, am I right? It was about 80 Josh Jenners on their own steam, for their own finances. They took leave, they paid their own way, got themselves from here to the Isle of Man with him, and got hosted. And that church has never, ever been the same again. They are maybe more healthy than some of the churches here because of that. Jonathan ministers, he'll be here with the 412 conference now. We've see him as he's got an apostolic gift in his life as well. We view him as an apostle. And the church that he's leading and the churches that relate to them in Isle of Man have changed. Their whole island seems to have changed because of that. And Andrew, I've often heard Andrew actually share this story. And Andrew's like, it's not because of anything he did. It's not because of the things that he was sharing. It's because the congregation and the saints that had been equipped already had gone, and people caught what they had. They were exposed to relationship. They saw how they worshipped. They saw how they fellowshipped together. They were able to minister in each other's homes, and that actually has been the key changing factor in that whole church, and the partnership that we have is so strong today because of that. You can trace it right back to that. It happens on personal levels. It happens in corporate levels. It's part of God's design. And I think we want to be a church that models this, right? Do you guys want to model Christian, like good biblical New Testament church? Do you? I can't hear you. One more time. I love doing that. If we're going to do that, we've got to do these things. Because this is the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. What, you want us to share something? Yes. That's a good point. I think sometimes we view it as evangelism and helping the needy, but actually, which is good, but this right now, in this context that we're speaking in right now, is building the kingdom. It's a partnership. It's a deepening of what God is doing. Are you asking for it? What's the difference between the two? I think there you need to be spirit-led. Love your enemy. But I mean, I've also seen people invite a complete stranger into their house. The person gets saved and their life changed. I've also seen people invite a complete stranger into their house and rob them blind and duck with all their with all their stuff. So I think in those situations, I wouldn't say don't do it, but I would also say be wise in what you do and how you do it. Make sure that you are spirit-led and you are also in submission to those around you, because sometimes those around you, for example, my wife is very mercy-hearted. She's like, she just wants to give. And I'm not so mercy-hearted. To be honest with you, like I've got other strengths in other areas, and she would probably just want to take somebody in off the street, and yes, there is a time for that, but actually that might endanger my kids, you know. So there's this, but I wouldn't just go ahead. She wouldn't just do that. We submitted one to another. So I would, if I did feel that, if I, for example, did feel the Holy Spirit saying that, I would go to the other elders and those that are involved in my life, and I might say to them, hey guys, I'm feeling this in the Holy Spirit. What do you guys think? And I would submit myself to their decision, actually. And if they said, no, I don't think this is a good idea, I might not go ahead with it, because actually I might be, you know, I might not have a good perspective on the situation. But if they say, yes, go for it, we're with you, then I know it's actually not just me doing it. It's us doing it. Because remember, again, if one part suffers, we all suffer. So actually, if I get robbed blind and like something does happen to my kids in that situation, and I'm leading the church, for example, you guys are going to suffer, because it's going to cripple me. You know? So that's a good picture, actually, of how we really blend together and we become one. This has become a question and answers. I like this, though. Enabling people instead of helping them, actually, in the long run. So Jules wants to share a quick testimony, and then I'm going to end it.
So actually, just, it's quite an amazing story. I don't know, it was about 2 years ago, hey, or maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Remember when the Argus was blown out that year? I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. So a guy was actually, Fiber had just come to Pinelands, we were living there at the time, and he was a rep for Telkom. And the chance of me being at home on a Sunday was like 1 in a million, because I'm always at church on a Sunday. But because I was doing the Argus, I was due to have ridden, but obviously it got blown out, got cancelled when I was on the start line at 7 o'clock. So I actually half crazily decided to ride home on that windy day on the M3 on my own. Because Shantz was at church, I was like, I'll just ride home. Should be fine, but it was quite hair-raising. And I managed to ride out on the M3 and take the N2 down and get to Pinelands. And so got home and this guy knocked on my door. And anyway, he started selling fiber to me because I was supposed to be riding the Argus, but I was there to open the door to him, chatted to him, and I started asking about Jesus and invited him into my home, into the lounge. And he ended up saying, look, hey, do you want to make a decision for him right now? Do you actually want to give your heart to him? And he was like, yeah, I do. And he ended up on that Sunday, actually, I led him to Jesus. And it's an incredible story because it ends up he came into our congregation, joined the community, grew in God, and then tragically actually he was knocked over about, I think it was about a year ago. So it was, and we baptized him as well. So it was just such a picture of God's grace on his life to actually rescue him from, like, I mean, who knows, if I didn't actually share the gospel, he might have gone to hell without knowing God, yeah.
Incredible, eh? Yes. I love this, actually. This stirs our hearts to want to do this. And so sometimes we still don't want to do it. But, like, I want to encourage you that actually when we see it in the Bible and we realize that this is God's will for us as a people, there's fruit in obedience. So just sometimes by putting yourself out there and even in all your own discomfort, just going, you know what, I'm going to take a step of faith. Like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to take a step of faith and watch. Watch this space. See what God does. Amen. Sure. So I want to draw it to a close, and maybe I can ask us all just to stand together.